shall we keep on living what, like we've been living, where it's sin, 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 so that God can show us more of this grace, grace, grace? May it never be. What a ghastly thought. We're all sinners saved by grace. Because He is our Savior, this is true. We have all died to sin.
The Bible teaches that God's grace has covered all of our sin. We're completely forgiven. In fact, there's nothing we can do to earn God's grace. And conversely, there's nothing we can do to lose it. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll describes the relief that comes when we embrace this truth. At the same time, Chuck offers a warning about abusing God's gift. In this brand new series called Living by Grace, Chuck is teaching from Paul's letter to the Romans. We're in chapter 6 today, and he begins with prayer.
Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for the hope that there is, even in this life, that though we struggle with a sinful nature, there is no reason to yield to it. For you have given us a power that we haven't in ourselves, but you have provided it for us. Thank you for your Spirit that lives within to empower us to live on another level, free of the constant yielding and seeking forgiveness, and then yielding and seeking forgiveness again, and then yielding and seeking forgiveness over and over in monotonous repetition. May we know victory as a part of our daily routine of life. May it become so much a part of us that we become contagious Christians, causing others to be curious regarding what they are missing. And then may we, with humility and gratitude, explain your grace, but especially may we live it in authenticity. Make this church a place of grace, not just in word, but in action. May we treat others with courtesy and kindness. May we be gracious as we meet strangers, as we talk to those we've not met before, as we are around people who are different than we. Teach us to be like your Son, Jesus, who, though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Dear Father, we pray for those today who struggle with an unexpected pregnancy on this special Sunday where we honor the sanctity of life. Thank you that our mothers had us, that against great circumstances of difficulty, they bore us, and we have lived. We pray the same courage would be passed along at these places where they help mothers to be, wrestle through the issues. And then may you give birth to those special individuals who will be used for you and by you for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we give. And all of his people said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into Romans chapter 6 with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insight.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck titled, Since We've Died, Let's Really Live.
Satan doesn't want you to believe that you are free. He doesn't want you to believe that you are not under the bondage of sin that you still are a victim, helpless and hopelessly lost to your old nature. And when the temptation comes, you're going to fall again. And here we go, repeating again our need to confess the sin because we just can't live above it. Let me tell you something. Not only is that not true, there are people who really don't want you to know what is true. They don't want you to be free. Eugene Peterson, in a fine book he wrote titled Traveling Light, which is his work on the letter to the Galatians, the letter of freedom, writes this. See if you don't understand very well what he's saying. Quote, there are people who do not want us to be free. They don't want us to be free before God, accepted just as we are by His grace. They don't want us to be free to express our faith originally and creatively in the world. They want to control us. They want to use us for their own purposes. These people infiltrate communities of faith to spy out our freedom, which we have in Christ Jesus, and not infrequently find ways to control, restrict, and reduce the lives of free Christians. Without being aware of it, we become anxious about what others will say about us. Obsessively concerned about what others think we should do. But Paul did not yield submission even for a moment that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. Every free person who benefits from Paul's courage will continue vigilant in the resistance movement he formed. I'm engaged in that movement. I'm involved in helping people know that you are free. You do not live under the thumb of your sins. I'm not saying we're sinless. I'm saying we have a power within us that is greater than the power in this world and greater than the sin that is a part of our nature. We don't have to sin. We sin because we choose to. When we meet up with temptation, we want it. We like it. We yield to it. The old nature says, I like that. Do that. But you don't have to. That's the message of grace. Before Christ, you couldn't help yourself. If there was money available, you could take it. Even if it meant being a thief, you could live with being a thief. You were lost. But you come to Christ, suddenly there is a sense of unselfishness that goes to work, and you have a nature that says you don't have to live selfishly. Before, you had no power but to do so. Now that you're in Christ, you can say to selfishness, take a hike. I want nothing to do with you. Paul writes in Galatians 1, verse 10, I invite you to turn if you wish. Am I still trying to please men or to please God? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. You know what that says to me? He once was a people pleaser. You know how I know that? Not only because he says I would still be doing it, but because he was a Pharisee. And they love the attention. They love getting the credit. They love being in charge. They love being number one. But Paul says, I'm not like that now. I've met the Savior on a road called the Road to Damascus, and that's been changed in my life. I'm now free to follow the Savior who has broken the bondage I once had with that old nature. The preamble for all of this is where we were last week in the last part of Romans chapter 5. where we read of triumphing over sin and death through one man, Jesus Christ. Verse 18, yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. We went over this, remember? But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God. And look at the next. And new life for everyone. I don't have to keep living like a slave to sin. I now can know victory over it. I can say no to the temptation to take money that isn't mine, or to take a woman that isn't my wife, or to take credit that isn't mine to take. I now, as a believer under the authority of Christ and through the power of the Spirit, I now want to give. I want to release. I want to be faithful to a mate that I've married. I want to be true to my calling. I don't want to deceive a congregation by preaching someone else's sermons. I don't want to model a sinful lifestyle. I can't do it in myself, and so I need Christ. And that's how I walk by grace. That's how it happens. So now God's wonderful grace rules instead, says verse 21. Of chapter 5. So now grace rules. Now I walk in a new way of life, not sinless, but I've moved out of Sin City, where I once lived habitually, and I now have moved into Grace Gardens, where I have a choice. And by the grace of God, I choose to do what's right. Now, when I don't, of course, I confess that, and God is faithful to forgive me. But that's not every single day. I did that every day when I didn't know I had power to live above it. But now that I know, I involve myself in that power, and I engage it. Now, when you hear that, some of you are afraid. And I realize you've not told me that, but I know human nature, and I've talked to enough people through the years to know that that kind of preaching makes you uneasy. First of all, Mama didn't teach you that. If she did, you had a rare home, if your home was a home marked by grace. If your mother and dad taught you to walk in the power of the Spirit, you are thrice blessed. Chances are good they gave you rules and regulations, and they told you what it meant to be a good boy or a bad boy. That's the whole basis of Santa Claus, isn't it? Whether you've done good or done bad, depends on what you're going to get for Christmas. You know what? With Christ, every day is Christmas, because he doesn't focus on bad. Do this and you will live. So don't be afraid of it. In fact, he says, shall we keep on living like we've been living, where it's sin, 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 so that God can show us more of this grace, grace, grace? May it never be. Of course not, this reads. Of course not. There's one rendering that says, never, never, never. Another one that says, what a ghastly thought. I've always liked that rendering. What a ghastly thought. That's no way to live. Don't be afraid of it. In fact, he goes on to say, since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Now, as soon as I read that, I can just hear wheels turning. Maybe you've died to sin, but I haven't died to sin. I mean, honestly. No, you have. If you're a Christian, you have. You just don't know it. You've never been taught this truth. We're going to move in these verses into what, put your thinking caps on, into what is called positional truth. You don't hear much about it these days, unfortunately, and I don't know why. Maybe because many preachers are legalists and they don't want you to know you're free. They want you to obey them. When will we ever learn, I don't control this church. I'm not in charge. This is the Savior's church. He's the head of the church. Just as you bow before him, I bow before him. I don't deserve any more respect than any one of you. We're all sinners saved by grace. And because he is our Savior, this is true. We have all died to sin. Now, when I say positional truth, I'm referring to what is theoretical. You don't experience it. Experiential truth is something that you literally experience. Let me illustrate. In your home, electricity is present. It's in all the walls. And every room includes electrical plugs. Remember? Every room has plugs. And when you have a little fan you want to plug in, you plug into the wall and electricity goes and turns the fan. That's, you know it's there, and that's positional knowledge. That's theoretical knowledge. Now, if you want to experience electricity in the walls, I have a paper clip with me here. And all you need to do is get near the plug and shove it in. And you will feel something experientially called a shock. And your wife or husband will look at you like, what planet are you from? Don't you realize you get shocked? Now, what are they saying? You've experienced the electricity. You don't experience this death. We're all alive. But it says we're dead. So it's positionally, we have died to the power of sin. And get this, to the authority of Satan. Like the plantation owner, he doesn't want you to know that. Satan doesn't want you to know you're free, that you don't have to be afraid of him. So many people live their lives afraid of the dark, thinking the bogeyman's going to come out and get you. And Satan is like the bogeyman. He's a doomed, fallen angel who's living every day of his existence closer to hell, for which that place was prepared, him and his demonic hosts. That's why there is a hell. He just wants you to accompany him there. He wants to keep you in darkness. He wants you to be an unbeliever. He wants you to doubt the truth of the gospel. He wants you to be as completely removed from God as he is. But you've chosen to come to Christ, so you're a believer. But what you've not known is that you've died to the authority of the enemy that you once walked hand in hand with. He still wants the authority. He wants to be your master. He wants you to say sir to him. There's no need. You're dead to his authority. You're dead to sin's power. Read on. Have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? Now, wait. You're thinking of when you got baptized. But that's a wet baptism. This is dry. Okay? There are different kinds of baptisms in the New Testament. Not all of them are water baptism. This word means literally to submerge, to envelop, and it takes on the idea of a change of identity. When you dip something and submerge it into a solution, such as a dye, that fabric changes its identity. When you came to Christ, you were positionally dipped into his life, and your identity was changed to be like Christ. Do you know that? That's one of the wonderful things that happened at salvation. Positionally, you were empowered with the same power with which Christ walked when he was on this earth. And he says to you, you're now free. I'm free. You're with me, follow me, and we'll walk together through this life. Keep reading. We joined him in his death. For we died and were buried with Christ by that identity, that change of identity. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Are you living a new life? Or are you still living embattled with sin, preoccupied with sin, ending every day, going back to your daytimer and finding the places where you failed and confessing your sins? That's no way to live. That's not the victorious Christian life. That's a sin-oriented life. That's a defeated life. No wonder you're depressed. No wonder you don't have a desire to tell other people about Christ. Hasn't done enough to really change you. Sin still empowers you. It doesn't need to. You don't have to sin. You don't have to be under the authority of the enemy, Satan, because in fact you're identified with Christ. Look at the next verse, verse 5. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. How magnificent is that? We have a resurrected life at work within us. We live our days on another plane so that we do not have to be afraid of the enemy or run scared of sin. We have the upper hand, just as he always did. The difference between him and us is he was without sin. He had no sin nature. We do. So there's a battle that goes on, which is why the Spirit of God has been given to us to empower us when we are weak. We come to the temptation, we're weakened by it. The Spirit of God empowers us and we're able to say no to that temptation. Now, I want you to get your pen handy. I want you to mark three words. I'll get through one of them today, and the next two we'll cover next time. But get your pen ready. Verse 6, circle the word K-N-O-W. We know. There's something we have to know in order to live like I've just described. Drop down to verse 11. So you also should consider. Circle that word. Consider. First, we have to know a couple of things, and then knowing those things, we must reckon them as reality, and that's what consider will help us do. We'll get to that next time. Look at verse 13. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, here's the third word. Circle that one. My Bible reads, give yourself completely. Yours may read, present yourselves to God. So you've circled know, consider, and give, or present. These are some essentials that we must think through, must take place in our brains, in our heads. Actions begin as thoughts, and thoughts take place in the mind. And we must train ourselves, just as we learned the basic rudiments of mathematics. We didn't know them, and the teacher began to faithfully teach us, and we worked our way through the basics, and we got even into a further advanced studies of mathematics. We got into algebra, we got into geometry, we got into trigonometry, we moved into calculus, and maybe some of you went on into other deeper studies, but you didn't know about it at first. You have to know the truth. These truths that you must know are right here before us. Look at this, verse 6. We know our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin.
You're listening to Insight for Living. And as you can tell, we're just midway through this message from Chuck Swindoll. Let me urge you to keep listening because there's much more that Chuck wants to show us in this sixth chapter of Romans. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Well, some have told us they consider Insight for Living their daily oasis. It's a place where they hear about and feel God's grace. That's because grace is a major theme in the Christian walk, and it's one that Chuck revisits over and over again. Well, today I want to draw your attention to a life-giving resource from Insight for Living. It's a daily devotional filled with 365 glimpses of hope and grace. Chuck titled this book, Wisdom for the Way. Some of us find ourselves reaching for our mobile device first thing in the morning. We often check our email and scroll through the news. Well, this book might provide a better start for you because in just a few minutes you can read uplifting words to fill your mind with God's wisdom. To purchase a copy of the devotional from Chuck called Wisdom for the Way, go to insight.org/store. And then bear in mind it's not the sale of books and resources that fuels this nonprofit ministry. Insight for Living is fully supported by grateful listeners like you. We invite you to join us in our mission to reach North America and beyond with these daily Bible teaching programs. To give a contribution today, go online to insight.org. I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to join us again next time when Chuck Swindoll describes choosing grace over guilt on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Since We've Died, Let's Really Live, was copyrighted in 2020 and 2023, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2023 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.